praise you, exalt you, amen. Aren't you blessed that you are righteous in Christ Jesus? You know, we have to remind ourselves that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The victory is ours, amen. Father, thank you that we worship him. The pressure begins to break off of us. In Jesus' name, we belong to you. Father, we shake off those heavy bands, amen. Lord Jesus, you designed, Lord, you have designed us to walk in your freedom, amen. So thank you for breaking depression off. Thank you for breaking anxiety off. And a lot of times, it's worshiping him, even in the middle of that struggle. And a Wednesday night is a perfect time to shake off the dust of the world.
Yes.
And to worship him and to honor him and to bless him. Amen. I am excited for what God is doing in you. I'm excited for what God's doing in me. And I'm excited for what God is doing in us.
Yes.
Thank you, Father God.
Thank you for your faithfulness.
Thank you for your faithfulness.
Thank you for your goodness.
Thank you. Lord, we love him, we pray. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. You may be seated. You know, just even today, just reminding myself, the speaker sounds different because that speaker's blown. And it sounds like, I don't know why. It's blown. Anyway, amen. We got a sound. So anyway, thank you, God. So if you're wondering why it sounds a little bit different, because it is, it's not your ear. Amen. But I just want to say, you know, we always have things that we take that press against us. Amen. I got the same names and things going on, and learning. Okay, well, I'll give this to you. Do my best, obviously. Lord, thank you for working these things out. Meantime, I'm going to worship you, and I'm learning. You know, if we're trying to train the Holy Spirit of life, I'm not going to allow this anxiety or depression to have place in my life. Amen. Come to a point, you're like, I'm done. I just tired of it. And we are victorious in him. Amen. And amen. And amen. And so just praying, if somebody, talking to somebody just before I came to church who said, all of a sudden I had night struggling with anxiety and fear. I said, you know, that's a spirit coming against you. Yeah, it's only happening at night. He promises beloved sweet sleep. So the enemy can come and press against you and then just continuing to talk to this individual saying, well, this is something I will deal with from time to time in my life. You remember, was it last week when we talked about where I felt like the Lord showed us that, you know, you can have a demonic foe, an enemy, and him, an enemy that's nothing compared to God's power, that can come against you, harass you, and say, I'm done with you, and then leave and go somewhere else and say, later on, say, oh, I remember really well. Come back around and say, I want to see how Billy Bob is. Come around and say, oh, I'm going to harass Billy Bob again. And then, you know, finally, just in the understanding of that, having God, whether it's a healing in your life or something being broken in your life, when that thing comes around again, it's like, that door's not open.
Amen.
That thing shut. Billy, you know, that enemy, that demonic foe, that evil spirit says, I can't come against Billy Ball in this area anymore. I'm going to have to find something. He cannot be on my list of people I go around harassing Billy Ball. But by the power of the Holy Spirit in the soul realm, I've come to realize now that he's no longer going to put up with this, because when I come against him, he begins to worship and praise and exalt God. So I cannot be helping him in his walk with God anymore. He's not sulking. He's not saying the same things. His spirit man has come alive about revelation that he's not putting up with that anymore. Amen. So this Billy Bob is no longer on that list anymore. Amen? That's a revelation that God had given me, so I'm able to share that with that individual. Sure enough, from time to time, this anxiety and fear would come against this person. And so begin to worship him, begin to honor him, begin to pray in tongues, begin to quote those scriptures that he cares for me, but cast all my anxieties upon him and worship him. And say, Lord, anything, any healing, anything that is a hawk in me, a fear, Lord, take it out in Jesus' name. For he's not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and sound mind. I am his beloved. I am his beloved. And so as the light bulbs begin to come up, you believe who you are in him. Not about who you are in him right now. He loves us. He loves me. And what the enemy does is he tries to convince us that, no, I have a right of a ration. You know, you've done this, 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 and this, and you're still starting with this, 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 and this. So if he convinces us of a lie, that is his access. There is an absolute lie. And it's a lie that we believe that gives him access. But we realize, no, that's not working anymore. I don't care what's going on. My righteousness is not based upon me anymore. It's the finished work of the cross. Now we can worship and praise him and exalt him. Amen. And lift him up. And then that thing will be like a mother, but then you find it losing its power anyway, because that lie has been broken off of your life in Jesus' name. That sorrow, that anxiety, that fear, no longer by a lie of the enemy has place in us. Amen. Isn't that good news? Amen and amen. I want to share something real quick before we get into session 65. And so I want to say something about Prescott High School. Okay? So it's called, anyway, for about 5 years, and I didn't know this. On Tuesdays afternoons, they have these people that go into a room in the high school. Obviously, the principal and everybody knows about it. It's a, you know, that's an authority at the high school, and they pray. And they pray. And so, and they've been doing that for 5 years. Well, now they have this program at the high school called Youth Alive. And, you know, I talked to this, his name is Steve, he's a pastor of another church. And he said, last time I talked to him, he said, there's 140 kids coming to this. Wow. So I talked to him today, there's over 200 kids going to this. He says, Chad, I believe that was fostered beyond prayer. That's amazing. That's like 10% or more of the high school coming to that. And I said, that sounds like the beginnings of a revival. And so Rich, you're going to go and check this out, because he said, look, we have this thing to give everybody. These are the things that we pray about, but we're being very specific for the high school, for the school district. We want everybody to, you know, to be on the same page for what we're praying for. And he said, they just pray about 45 minutes. And he said, I'll give you one of those. And then what me and Richie want to do is go to the high school here. They've got a new principal here at the high school. And so we feel like the timing is perfect. John, can you put up that slide that I sent you? But this is what the Lord put on my heart today. You know this. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. It says, therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. And I think it's going into that high school. We want to model just exactly what they did, and begin to pray that the Lord would send his laborers to other high school students, other being tested, to start sending laborers into the harvest. See, we got to be careful. We understand things politically need to change in this country. But this is how it's going to change.
That's right.
It's prayer and going into the fields for harvest, bringing in souls, bringing in those sheaves. Amen. So that vision began to start fostering in my heart, Lord. How are we going to reach the high school? How are we going to reach some of these other areas? One thing I've come to realize too, hear me, is we definitely want a vision for the church. But the flesh says we got to have a vision right now. But God says, hey, I'm fostering something. I'm putting all the pieces together. Be patient. Mm-hmm. And so as we know that, you know, this all of a sudden, boom, thinking about the high school going in there praying, it says, begin to pray earnestly. Amen. For the Lord is in the laborers into the harvest. That can be at your workplace. That's with the people that you have an impact. Beginning to pray earnestly. Amen. Some of you are already praying earnestly. Amen. Some of them, Darlene is coming to the church and praying. This by herself is coming in here and praying. So that pray, I think, for me and for this church, saying, Lord, begin to stir our hearts in prayer. To not only pray for the laborers, to become the laborers. Amen. Become the laborers wherever God has placed you or sent you, or the giftings or the abilities that He began to put in your heart, and begin to stir those things. Amen. And as He continues to stir those things, as we continue to pray and worship Him, amen, and seek Him and be patient, right? The flesh is, how patient is the flesh? You know, it's McDonald's patience. It's a McDonald's patience. But I think, you know, I think this church has been patient and saying, Lord, please, I don't want to just have some kind of vision because that's what has to happen. The Lord, but I understand, Lord, you've got to place the vision upon the people. And I believe it's that time of, Lord, beginning to pray for that harvest. Can you agree with that? Lord, thank you for placing within the spirit of the people a desire to pray that, Lord, when we pray before that loved one seems hopelessly lost, Lord, that we know that prayer changes everything. Begin to stir us in prayer, Lord, that we'll begin to get phone calls and begin to, things will begin to happen, things that we've waited, maybe in certain situations for years or whatever it is, but we begin to pray for that and do not give up. It's time to let hope arise. Amen. Let hope arise. Is that part of the song? Or am I just, let hope arise? Am I wrong? No, am I right? And so, let hope arise. And in the atmosphere of hope renewed through the Holy Spirit, amen, begin to pray earnestly and thank you, God, for sending the laborers, the loved ones, in our high schools and everything, other areas of our life and society, that the harvest may begin to come. And I believe that it is time, and that is the vision that we begin to pray earnestly, that labor will be said. Isn't that good news? And so if we begin to pray that we have favor to high school, go in there with humility, go in there with humility, and let them know exactly what we'll be praying for, and say, this is what we want to do, this is what we want to see in the high school, this is what we want to see in the school district, which is what? People, young people, come out of depression, bondage, and come into the love of God. It is to come into the love of God. Amen? That's what we're going to share with them. Go in there with humility and say, can we have a room to pray and begin to model what we've seen over there? And then maybe that youth alive can come forth, but it has to have a sponsoring teacher. So if you're going to have a club within a school, we're going to have a sponsoring teacher. So you be praying that God will bring us that sponsoring teacher, that we can change that high school. It's time to stir ourselves and see God bring forth a harvest of souls. Isn't that good news? Can you put that up one more time, my dear brother John? The harvest is plentiful. That's the good thing. The harvest is plentiful. It's not meager. It includes those people I've been praying for. That's plentiful. So the harvest of souls is plentiful, but the laborers are few. The laborers are few. This is what Jesus said. Therefore, he said, therefore what? He said, since the laborers have been few, therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. The Lord is going to start sending out laborers into his harvest. He's going to start making you and I laborers. I know a lot of you already laborers. But there's going to be more added to them. There's going to be a fresh focus, a fresh hope, a fresh vision. Amen? That is good news. Amen, Lord? Okay. And so, John 7, 65, I'm just going to go through a few verses. You give me 20 minutes? Amen? John chapter 7 in the NASB 2020. Verse 19 is in that. Did Moses, we have spoke about this, so we're just going to hit it at a little bit different angle tonight. If you're with me for a few minutes, did Moses not give you the law? Interesting, because Jesus is going to start going into talking about the law, specifically about Sabbath. He said, did Moses not give you the law? Yet none of you carries out the law. So yet you notice that Jesus is love, Jesus is grace, and Jesus is mercy. But did you notice he was always willing to talk to the crowd? I mean, exactly the way it was. Amen? So he was always saying that he was willing to offend. And he was constantly offending. He was coming against the religion of the day. He was coming against their mindset. He was stirring the pot, so to speak, constantly. He said, hey, did not Moses give you the law? He says, but yet none of you carries out the law. Well, and then he says something that just seems right completely off the wall. And he says, why are you seeking to kill me? Nobody said anything about it. We don't read anything about anybody that in that circumstances where he was preaching in the temple, what he was doing, that anybody said anything about killing him. But first he comes and gets him with this, saying, hey, did not Moses give you the law, but none of you is carrying out the law. That's a big word, none of you. He didn't say 80% of you, 90% of you, 95%, there's a few of you. He says, none of you knows anything. What he's saying is, none of you know anything about the law of Moses. And he says, and by the way, why are you trying to kill me? And he said this for a purpose. You know, they're offended. And then we'll read that he comes back and they'll say, that, what did they say to him? We'll get their names. They said to him, they said, you have a demon. Nobody's trying to kill you. Here's the thing. If he began to offend them about their law, and he said, why are you trying to kill me? What was truly in their heart came out. See, he said those things that are written down that you and I could see that. The crowd were there. They saw the miracles. They wanted to hear what he had to say, but they were going along with all the Sadducees and Pharisees who kept saying, hey, you're doing these things by the power of Satan himself. And so as he began to say, hey, why are you trying to kill me? They could have said, hey, what are you talking about? And they said, you have a demon. And so out of the mouth, the heart will always speak. Amen. That's what I love about God's grace and mercy. You want to know what you're all about? Just tape record yourself for a few hours, a few days. Play it back, amen? You'll know eventually what's in your heart. What begins, that's why we always talk about what are you confessing? What are you saying? What are you saying at home? What are you saying to one another? What are you saying with the people around you? Because it always creates an atmosphere. And so I realize there could be something I want to say, but I've learned a little bit. I think I'll say maybe the opposite. Or maybe I'll say something, I just won't say it at all. And then I'll look and say, Lord, what is that that's wanting to come out of my mouth? Please help me with that. Lord, whatever that is, just wipe that off of my life. Change that belief. Whatever it is, Lord, thank you for breaking that off of my life. Thank you for cleansing that out of my heart. Lord, thank you for doing a mighty work. So when he was showing them exactly, what he's showing why that was written for you and I 2,000 years from then, at this point, to read is what was in their heart. And what it is what he was talking to is about the scribes and Pharisees. Remember, let's go to Matthew 23, verses 23 and 24. Matthew 23, verses 23 and 24. It says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. So this is Jesus, you know, being straightforward again. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Amen. For you tithe, and we're going to get to what he says about the law. He says, you don't know anything about the law. Do you think he was just talking to the crowd? Oh, he was talking to especially to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, religious leaders. He was specifically talking to those that were leading the nation in the worship of God with the so-called law of Moses. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe. We're going to talk about all the things they did, yet they knew nothing about God and the law. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weighty provision of the law. What justice and mercy and faithfulness. But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others, you blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow camel. Wow. And they did everything they could to follow the letter of the law, but knew nothing about the heart of it. They knew nothing about the mercy, the faithfulness, the good that they were making sure to tithe right down to the 10%. Now, there's nothing wrong with giving and tithing. But if they were saying, I'm going to give, I make sure the tenth of everything I have goes into the offering, or goes into the offering, or used for His glory. But the heart of the matter, that God's heart was far from their mind. That's what I love about God's grace and mercy, is He writes His law on your heart and my heart, and it becomes about the heart of God. It becomes about the love of God. It becomes about the faithfulness of God. It becomes about the mercy of God. And oh, by the way, everything I have and own anyway, belongs to Him anyway. Hallelujah. So whether it's 10%, 20%, whatever God has been in Him, it's coming from my heart. A heart change. If God begins to create a vision in this church in your life, it's a thing of the heart. Don't allow it to be that, I got to do this because it's the requirement. That won't lead to fruit. That can actually lead to some being barren. But it's something from the heart of God that comes forth in you. So whatever that might be in a ministry God has given you, whatever He's placed within you to pursue that it comes from your heart, it becomes who you are, and it begins to bear much fruit. It'll bear fruit. If I could say anything, allow God, if you're pursuing Him, I know to be patient. Allow Him to touch you, change you, refine things, put things in place. Amen. And then He'll begin to release that vision, whatever it is. It can take time. But the religion doesn't like that. It has to be now. It has to be a tenth of everything, a tenth of my time, a tenth of everything I have. It all has to be about all those things, specifics of the law, but nothing about the heart of the matter. Thank you, Jesus, for sharing your heart with us. Your mercy and your love and your grace and your strength. Isn't God merciful?
Yes.
Powerful. I want to go off on a little side story. It was so powerful when we went to this marriage conference. It was about the heart. I don't know if I shared this on Sunday, but I did tell me to shut up. I'll go on. But you know, they had this powerful couple minister. And she had a 22 years prior, he got pregnant. Her husband raised that boy like it was his own. Talking about heart, talking about forgiveness, and that boy could preach the pain off the wall, but it was the heart of God. There was no residual love, mercy, grace. He says, How do you think I'm the gal that had the affair and had a baby out of wedlock, and everybody knows about, and I'm raising this baby, being my husband, and now it is being used for the glory of God, looking at His mercy, His love, and His grace. That's the heart of God. That is the heart of God. What were the chances that shouldn't have been a wreck? Well, that we would see the heart of God for us. There's always room for reconciliation in our heart. There's always room for God to heal, deliver, and to change things. But we have to trust Him, and we've got to quit believing the voice and the lie of the enemy. And so they began to minister and bless. It was just amazing. As he could stand there next to his wife, As she's sharing all of this, and there's no shame, there's no intimidation, there's no hiding, it's a testimony of what God brought them through. And there is nothing too difficult for Jesus. He can make every crooked path straight. But again, it is time to pray and earnest again. And you know, we have these ideals. You know, for me, it's like, and it's believing and trusting and thanking Him and declaring and praying in the Spirit, worshiping, thinking of the Scripture and going looking at it. Maybe spending some time on my knees. Maybe just walking around my property. Start to consciously start saying, Lord, thank you for doing these things. I petition. Thank you for God for moving mountains and casting them into the sea. Because how can you move a mountain without the power of God? He's the one that said, hey, if you speak to that mountain and command him to go in the sea, he said, you'll have that dimension. Amen? That's talking about impossible things moving, but he'll move them. He will move them. Now, isn't that good news? Let me go. Matthew 23:25-24. It says, Jesus, again, he's continuing to talk to the Pharisees. He says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside they are full of robbery and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and of the dish, so that the outside of it may also become clean. And then he kind of goes, I'm going to read a few more scriptures of what Jesus and Isaiah was talking about this specific time. When he was coming against, or he was battling against what forces of hell and the religious leaders at the time. Isaiah 1:1-13. Are you still with me for a few minutes?
Yes.
So this is God talking. This is Jesus talking. It says he's talking this time of this, I think specifically when he walked the earth. It says, What are your many sacrifices to me? Says the Lord. I have had enough of burnt offerings, of rams, and of the fat of cattle. And I take no pleasure in the blood of bulls, lambs, or goats. When you come to appear before me, who requires of you this trampling of my courtyards? Do not go on bringing your worthless offerings. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath, the proclamation of assembly. I cannot endure wrongdoing in the festive assembly anymore. You know, why was that? Because it just like when Jesus was walking on the earth, it was all about do, but nothing to do with the heart of God. At that time, they had to give sacrifices, but he said, I don't want that anymore. You don't realize my grace, my mercy, my love for people. What you're doing, what Jesus had told them is you keep stacking weight upon these new converts. And he said this, and you're making the twice, I say God, Jesus, and you're making him twice the son of hell that you love. Wow. But Isaiah 1:17, for you and I learn to do good, man. Our righteousness is in Christ Jesus. He's showing us his ways. He's revealing his truths, amen. They're becoming part of who you and I are. It says, learn to do good, seek justice. It says, walk in truth, speak the truth, believe in a right or wrong, be willing to stand up for the less fortunate. Amen? Amen. It says, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor. Who's the oppressor? Well, ultimately, Satan's the oppressor. Rebuke the oppressor, said. Obtain justice for the orphan, plead for the widow's case. Amen. Going back to what he said, you strain out a gnat, but swallow a camel. It became just a club of these leaders. And forgetting those who are in need, not thinking about the heart of God. You know, Isaiah 1:16, let me read this, is wash yourself, make yourselves clean, remove the evil of your deeds from my sight, stop doing evil. You could look at that and say, well, I can't wash myself. You're right. But how will we do this? Let's look at, because you can read that. Okay, I'll start, you know, my regimen of washing myself and doing this and that. But the truth of the matter is, you cannot wash yourself clean. If you've ever been in that gamut or play or try to do that, that can become very exhausting. It says, wash yourself. How are we going to do that? Well, let's go to Ephesians 5. We're doing it right now, by the way. Let's go to Ephesians 5, 27, 25 to 27. You ready? Starts out, husbands, love your wife. We just want to start out with that one. If you've got a wife here, just want to remind them, amen? Want to remind me, again, Dad, Uncle Tommy, John back in the booth, everybody else, if you got a wife, I said you got, you do that. None of us is here out. Husbands, amen. Husbands, love your wives. I thought you were talking about washing yourself. Well, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. Amen. Isn't that awesome? So that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her. Here we go. Cleansed her out by the washing of water with the word. How do you wash yourself? It's with the word of God. Did you know, even whether you realize it tonight or not, if God is watching over you, we're worshiping together, we're made to worship, amen? And then hearing, hopefully, Spirit-led declaration and preaching. And if we're receiving that, amen? If it's from the heart of God's truth, it should be washing over you. You have decided to allow the word to wash over you. That's how you wash yourself. Yielding, submitting, and allowing his word to wash over you. Can I ask you, have you allowed the word to wash over you tonight? Have you allowed yourself to be washed? Amen. I've allowed myself tonight, God, to be washed by the word of God. And I'm going to need a washing and a washing. And washing because this world's dusty. Amen. I'm going to continue walking tomorrow morning. When I get up, I'm going to start my day by getting a washing. Amen. On my way to work, if I'm thinking of the Lord, which I am always thinking of the Lord, when I'm in your traffic, worshiping him, honoring him, saying, Lord, thank you for continuing to wash me by the Holy Spirit with the Word of God. Amen. Because the Word of God declares who I am. And so the enemy says, no, you're this. Say, sorry, I've just been washed by the word, and I'm not going to buy that lie. Get out of here. In Jesus' name. Allowing the word of God. Are you allowing the word of God to wash you? And wash you. And believe it. So when the enemy comes in with that lie, Billy Bob, that enemy, remember we're using Billy Bob, and the enemy comes and says, okay, here I am pressing you with the same thing that I've been able to press you with for almost your entire life. No longer. The just shall live by faith. That emotion, area of that emotion, is no longer going to give in. That emotion is now going to be yielded to the truth of the Word of God. Take a hike. And he said, I'm not going anywhere because I don't believe. Well, I continue to worship him. You come on, sit down here, and we'll worship the Lord. See how long you like that, devil. We'll begin to speak in tongues as God begins to move heaven for me with my prayer language. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I don't think we're going to do any more because we have to go into a group of scriptures. Do you love him? Are you thankful for him? Thank you, Lord, for doing our lives. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for your strength. Thank you for your anointing in our lives. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we are victorious. Thank you that every battle belongs to the Lord. Thank you, Lord, that I will be victorious in every battle. There might be some struggles. There might be some skin that needs. But every battle I am victorious in because the battle belongs to the Lord. All the victories, the devil's never won a battle, amen, against the Lord Jesus. He's never won a battle against God. He's won many battles from people who are susceptible and believe his lies. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your victory tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people